Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
You know what's smart? Enjoying a fresh gourmet meal at home that you didn't have to cook. Meat Factor, your loophole in the laws of mealtime. Chef-crafted meals delivered with a tap, ready in just 2 minutes. You know what's even smarter? Treating yourself without cheating your goals. Factor is dietitian approved, chef prepared, and you plated it. Pretty smart, huh? Refresh your routine and eat smart with Factor. Learn more at factormeals.com.
Bloody hell, Everton have won 3-2 against Tottenham. Oh, just felt sick at the end there. Felt like we were going to mess it up again after playing so well for 80 minutes. But yeah, they got over the line in the end. I don't know what Jordan Pickford was doing, but listen, so much good about that today. So many good performances. And it's a vital win, ultimately. Huge, huge win. Oh my God, I just felt physically sick towards the end there. I don't know how we got to a situation where we could have potentially drawn that game, because he was so on top for 75 minutes. And it's just one mistake from Pickford, another mistake from Pickford, and the Spurs have had a sniff, but Everton thankfully sorted out in the end. Loads of good performances. Dominic Calvert-Lewin just in front of the Gladys Street here, he was really good. Obviously got his goal, but terrorised their centre-halves all day. And Jai was excellent, Lindstrom was excellent. Thought Soskowski had a really good game, but it's all about the win at the end of the day. But a spell there, it felt a bit like Bournemouth. I think a 3-1, everyone felt relatively calm, but for the rest of it. Those last 2 minutes when they got the second. Jesus Christ, it was horrible. But listen, it's a big win. Big win. Eliminated the eyes, just coming out to the Garden Street now. He was great, obviously got a brilliant goal. God, feel sick, but delighted. We'll be back at a no doubt delighted Denby Castle very soon. That's the Everton experience, isn't it? Speak to you again soon. Right, we are back in the Denby Castle. It is very much party time. Everton won 3-2 against Tottenham. Just getting our breath back, I think, from that. Man City currently won the lop against Ipswich as well. So, yeah, all enjoyable. What an afternoon. Joining me are Dave, Matt and Rob. Rob, I've got to come to you first, mate. City have gone 2-0 up now. Things keep getting better. But Rob, got to come to you, mate. We'll talk about you. Your Goodison feelings and how you feel walking out of that place for the last time at the end, but yeah. as a game itself, I'm sure all of our listeners will be delighted that after Wednesday and sitting through that you got a game like that today. How was that for you?
I'm going to try hard not to get into my feelings prematurely, but I will tell you that that was just a night and day experience on every level. We talked on Wednesday about, you know, maybe sticking with the same lineup may have taken some of the, you know, the passion out of the crowd, taken some of the sting out of the occasion. Today was something very different. I think we came into the match not even really knowing, you know, if they were going to be starting in a back three, but Jake O'Brien absolutely was playing right back today. But the energy, the pressing, the, you know, just the commitment, and then that's kind of to... I hate using the corporate word synergy between the crowd and the players today, was just there from the very beginning. And being able to see all of that happen in a way that I have seen so many times over the years, even for all the years before I ever came to Goodison for the first time, it really was what I remember a David Moyes Everton team looking like. And so from that standpoint, just to see every player really committed today, to see the lineup that he chose really sparkle today. We'll go on and talk about some of the players, but, you know, it's really much harder to find, you know, who wasn't really good today. A lot of really high character performances, and as final appearances at Goodison could possibly go, this is absolutely the magic that I only dare to dream of.
Yeah, talk about a Moyes team. I thought he was going to bring Leighton Baines on there at the end. Every other defender at the club had been on the pitch at one point. But it worked in the end, didn't it? But I mean, I put a message in our chat like, yes, get in the Moyes sub when Young came on. But I think maybe three of them was a bit too much. Maybe we sat off a bit too much. But you just can't argue with that first half performance, can you? No. And I mean, everyone to a man, even Decore, he was, you know, charging down. And Lindstrom looked like a player reborn, very solid. Jake O'Brien, I don't think anyone can deny, he really took his chance today. I mean, I wasn't as chipper as I should have been after full time because of the circumstance of the second half, but, you know, in the cold light of the pub with a drink in front of me, ooh, bloody hell, we needed that, didn't we?
I think it's one of them, Dave, where when you walk out the ground, like, it is the relief because of what's happened, but I think as that subsides and you actually look back on the game itself, you can focus more on the, because we've got over the line, you can focus more on the 75 minutes before that, which were really, really good today.
I mean, what are we, an hour and a half after the game finished? You're absolutely right. I think when you start making a way to the train or car park, whichever it is, that's when you start in the cold light of day realising what happens when Rob Dyer's perfectly said about being over, seeing what's happened, winning a game and something, that emotion's going to run through his veins until we get here now and talk about it and reassess how it was. And first, when it finished, the first thought I had when I got in my car sort of driving over to Denby was it felt very, very Moyes-like in years gone by. Things that we'd forgotten, things very simple that we'd forgotten to do over years gone by, the simplicity of things. And I think the one thing that was different to all that was how we ended up playing like an effectively positive football side. Yeah. Kept the ball on the floor, which is remarkable when you consider how much we haven't done that in recent years. Feeling towards how he set up as well, Jake O'Brien there. I mean, these, I don't know, would you go as far as saying these are brave decisions for Moyes to go ahead and do that? Or would you say it's been sitting right in front of our eyes, it's just Sean Dyche didn't bother utilising what he already had there? Because I thought O'Brien was absolutely brilliant coming in at right back. He's not a right back player either. I thought he performed brilliantly against anything that was thrown towards him. Thought midfield wise, we're passing the ball across the floor. There was a tempo to how we played. Like Matt said there, typically in the first half as well, you're playing against a side that's on its arse right now in Spurs, but nonetheless, they've still got some top class players. And it just, like, David Moyes getting his song by near 40,000 people singing his song. When did you think you'd see that when it was announced that he was going to come back? And I think that sort of, I don't know, in a microcosm shows you what Everton are like, really. How things can just flip from one side to the other. Look, after that Villa game, we were all devastated, thinking we're a point above the relegation zone here. Moyes has come in, look how crap this team is. And after all this, you've got many people who'll be saying to us in the replies on this show, and some of us here now would say, I told you we had some decent players here. I told you if Everton could play in a different way, even slightly little tweaks all over the place, then Everton can be an effective side. And we were, and that's where I go back to saying it was like peak Moyes. And I think in the commentary, Jamie Carragher referred to that. It was like when he was comparing Ndiaye to Pienaar, and he was saying, like, in those seasons later on when Moyes was with us, Everton were really positive side to watch, really good on the eye to watch. And that stereotype we've had since then has been something I think many lazy fans will see if they continue to watch us. But now, having seen that, there's something for us to say, do you know what? The bar's being raised here. Yes, of course, could well go away to Brighton, is it? We've got next. Yeah. That's going to be a difficult game because they've gone battered United today. But it's got a foundation there now that we can work on. And you spoke there, mentioned about that you're joking about Baines should be put on and stuff like that. Leighton Baines standing next to David Moyes, throwing decisions at players, telling Calvert-Lewin where he should be. This is Baines, by the way. There was a touch, and you know what I'm like, there was a touch of nostalgia there, and I absolutely loved it. And the first person I thought of, I don't want to get like a tears in my eyes here, but it was you, Rob, being here to see that. I mean, such a unique time, but to see that with Baines involved, Everton's matchroom staff. So sorry, Matt, I'm back.
Well, it was retro day, wasn't it, today?
Yeah. So what was that all about? Did you have to turn up at something? Or?
Romance is in the air for Valentine's Day. And when you're ready to pop the question, all you need is the perfect moment to come around. And, of course, the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can find thousands of natural and lab-grown diamonds, plus legendary service from Blue Nile's jewelry experts, who can answer every question, help you design a custom ring, and even plan the proposal. So seize the day today. Right now, you can save up to 50% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. When your computer breaks, you don't wait for it to magically start working again. You fix the problem. So why wait to hire the people your company desperately needs? Use Indeed Sponsored Jobs to hire top talent fast. And even better, you only pay for results. There's no need to wait. Speed up your hiring with a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're looking for flexible workouts, Peloton's got you covered. Summer runs or playoff season meditations. Whatever your vibe, Peloton has thousands of classes built to push you. We know how life goes. New father, new routines, new locations. What matters is that you have something there to adapt with you, whether you need a challenge or rest. And Peloton has everything you need whenever you need it. Find your push. Find your power. Peloton. Visit onepeloton.com.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstar startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.
Courage to wear old Everton shirts, but I mean, yeah, I think there were tweaks for me, Rob. Like, listen, we didn't play all out expansive total football by any means, but it just felt like at times today, and like I think, you know, Mangala's passed to Carvalho for the first goal. You think of the way Idrissa Gueye and Ndiaye play like a 1-2 for the second goal. And just little moments here and there, like, it felt like the first thought wasn't just get it forward or into the channel stay. Like, it feels like, I imagine one of the messages on the training ground the last few days would have been, if you can get it and play a short pass into midfield or use your quality, then do it. And like I said, it wasn't like a total complete revamp of style, but just being positive and trusting your ability on the ball, it felt like there was just a lot more of that today. And I think that kind of came through as well between Calvert-Lewin using his ability in the box for the first goal, and then obviously Ndiaye using his ability running from the halfway line for the second.
Yeah, I think that was the most noticeable difference for me, is that the first game that I saw this week felt very much like a group of traumatized men who just maybe were told that they could do something different, but weren't really sure of themselves because they've had so much of actual football beaten out of them. And what you saw today, I mean, I remarked to Keith as we sat together in the main stand today that how many times did we see them string, you know, 8-10 passes together and taking what the defense would give them sometimes, but not just conceding into just a long kick down the pitch. I thought that was, you know, making good decisions, but also making quick decisions. Yes, there were a few stray passes, you know, particularly in the last 15 minutes where it got a little loose at times. But overall, they seemed very much a team that I didn't recognize on some level because of just the overall command with which they played. But there it was the sense that, you know, the stereotypes about Everton, and I think that Dyche, maybe this may be the thing that he fundamentally misunderstood about us, was, you know, that all we needed to do was run really hard. And if we ran really hard, you know, we were aggressive in that form, that things would just kind of have to, you know, find a way to happen because we don't have enough talent. Whereas I think Moyes is coming in and teaching a focused aggression with purpose. Today what we saw was not only a much stronger press, but one that seemed to have a plan behind it, a strategy to combine, you know, quick decision-making around the passing lanes and those sorts of things. And really, you got the sense that the biggest strategic move to help facilitate that was, and we saw this with the way that Ndiaye played today, Calvert-Lewin played, he was excellent today. He just basically said, we're going to change the entire left-hand side, or the entire right-hand side today.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that was, to me, the biggest difference in the game. I thought Lindstrom was outstanding. I lost track of the number of chances he created today. He looks like he's reborn. And
set pieces as well, unbelievable.
Yeah, the set pieces, and really just, you know, being able to look at this side in a way in which we are thinking outside the box a little bit more and looking a little deeper within the squad for solutions. If he can get these types of, maybe not this exact level every week, but if he can get approximately this consistent focused performance from guys who just need a little bit of confidence inserted into their overall ability, guys like Ndiaye, guys like Lindstrom, Calvert-Lewin looked like a completely different player than the one I saw on Wednesday, and frankly, a completely different player than the one I've seen in maybe years. He was outstanding today, and so Moyes seems to have worked quickly to stamp some of the negativity out of them, and so now it's really going to be all about the ability to maintain this. But the early evidence is excellent. The early evidence is certainly encouraging, and just with this win alone, you know, we put ourselves relatively clear just with 3 points. It's amazing what getting a win can do when the rest of the league is struggling behind us. Now we've got to kind of keep this momentum going and continue to pick up points.
Loads of good moments in the first half, Matt, but that Ndiaye goal was a proper breathtaking one, wasn't it? You know, I mean, Rob just made a funny noise there, thinking back to it, but just, you know, he has been a shining light for us, hasn't he, really, at times this season. I think that there's been moments over the last few weeks where he's maybe struggled to get into the game, but you look at his goal against City, look at the goal he scored today, and he's the one player maybe in that final third who's just capable of doing something like that, and shaking onto his left foot and hitting it high, it's a great finish on his weaker side.
Yeah, I was one of his fiercest critics on Wednesday, and I make no apologies for that. Still think he was poor, and I will be honest, like, as he made that run into the box, I was sort of half cursing him. I didn't quite get the words out before he hit the back of the net, but I was like, he can frustrate me at times, the way he tries to, you know, turn five plays instead of just playing the simple pass like Garner did to Calvert-Lewin for his goal. But I think it's just fundamentally, I forgot players could do that in an Everton shirt. Like, I didn't realise that was allowed, and bloody hell. Like, yeah, just literally took the roof off both the grounds and the net, and just gave us that nice, relaxed, warm feeling going into half-time, didn't they? And who'd have thought we would have got a third one? But I know people are saying he's got to be playing number 10 and all that, but I think at the moment, with the personnel we've got on the pitch, and I think he's starting to build more of a rapport with Mikulenko as well. We've seen that in the last two games. I think he's probably in the best position for him right now.
Also, him and Calvert-Lewin linked a lot better today as well.
Yeah, he was. Just that on what you said, I think that's spot on about keeping him on the left-hand side there. I think, like, credit got to go today for the unsung heroes as well, and Mikulenko is certainly top of that list for me, along with Lindstrom, I suppose, like you mentioned there, Rob, because, like, I've not rated him whatsoever since he's came in and seen anything from him until today. But Mikulenko was back to... Got our player of the season, I think got my player of the season before last, and just completely fell out of the place. And now looks like what's been against him and things like that, a lot of criticism we've given him, all sorts of different fans have. Dodgy was brilliant next to Ndai, helped him. Overlap was there all the time, although Ndai didn't use that, he was able to control the ball on his own. Calvert-Lewin, though, I think we'll probably go into a whole show about him today, Matt, about how this was. I'm hesitant to say, where's that been? I just feel as if he was utilised in a very different way than just hoofing it up to him straight away. And it goes back to the point I think I made in my initial comments here, was Everton kept the ball on the floor a lot more. Everton found out that there was soil that he could kick the ball over rather than just hit it in the air and find out what it was like up there.
We tried playing football.
Exactly. It's the odd occasion or two where it did go up to him, but it was only when it was the last call, it was only when it was... we couldn't do anything else, that would be when a ball's knocked up to him then. And obviously that's going to be something that we'll have to utilise, particularly away from home, I would imagine, that he has somebody close to him. But the movement from everybody when we had the ball, it was stepping forward, there was a confidence in our play, and Calvert-Lewin benefited from that when the ball was played through to him. Look, the only criticism I'd have of him today is he probably should have scored another three goals. There's the one in the first half where he takes a horrendous touch with his left knee, and he went, he's one-on-one with the keeper. That was the only one, I think, which he probably should have buried. The one he does, his touch, is having that sort of guile in and around three or four defenders to be able to get a shot away. That's outstanding, and that, to me, has gone against the grain of a player who's lacking confidence. It looks to me like somebody who's been sort of... he's free now to do that sort of thing, and I'd like to think that that's what Moyes has worked with. Probably no coincidence when Moyes came out the other day and said he needs to get shooting boots on when he was talking all that stuff in the media, he'll have gone to work on him. And that, to see that happen, what, 4 days later, it's an astonishing turnaround, that. And how much we credit Moyes, and how it remains to be seen, it'll be interesting to see what happens from here. But if I was to ask you guys, when you took 3 points from those two games, you probably would have took two, maybe even one. For Everton to go and get a win the way in which they did today, that's as good as we felt for a long time. I'd say that about myself anyway.
The only thing I want to add on Calvert-Lewin today, beyond just obviously how kind of night and day it was, I think especially if you kind of apply some context to this, that miss at the end on Wednesday was really painful. You could tell that it hurt him. It certainly hurt our cause, and I think he really knew that. I think today was one of those like kind of character defining moments for him, especially as he potentially winds his time down at the club. He really responded today, and I think that all those kind of classic Calvert-Lewin things that we always cite about, like, hey, even if he's not scoring goals, he's winning balls in the air, he's competing, he's pressing, he's doing all those things. I think getting a reward for early on, And in the manner with which he did so, I mean, that goal he scored was incredible. The dribbling exercise.
It's like a very un-Calvert-Lewin goal.
It is an un-Calvert-Lewin. It's like not only did he need a goal, sometimes we talk about a striker who just goes through a drought and they just need a ball to bounce off their shin or whatever. I think that this really has a potential to kind of light something because of the manner in which he scored it. The fact that he did so early in the game then allowed him to, you know, set a tone with all the other kind of Calvert-Lewin-y things that we've come to expect from the more prime version, the pre-injury version of him. This was one of those vintage performances from him today. And I've been one of his bigger critics. I even said on Wednesday I felt like it was a bit 85%. Yes, he didn't score as many as we would have liked for him to score today. But he certainly looks like a player who, given the opportunity to feast on something other than these just long balls, months and months and months of long balls, I think that finally you see a player that, as we talked about on Wednesday, has every incentive in the world to play his ass off for the remainder of the season, and that would be mutually beneficial for not only him but for Everton as well.
He was just before you come in, man. It was the audacity he had to do that, by the way, because I'm thinking in any position, pretty much any striker, they're putting his foot through that when he gets that ball, regardless of who's around him. It's to have a shot towards goal, hopefully go and win a corner. For him to do that, I just think like how interesting it'd be to get the mentality behind that he's been able to do it, because I think it's really, really easy to criticise Sean Dyche. I mean,
I think in a weird sort of way, like, I'll have to watch it again, but like, it's all quite instinctive, because he's just got everyone's so close to him, he's just kind of take a touch, then it opens up and the keeper sort of goes one way, doesn't he? He whips it back across him. Like, it's a really good feel. Like, again,
it doesn't even whip it, he sort of chuckles it, doesn't he?
Yeah, but it's like, if someone said to me, like, and I wasn't at the ground, like, Calvert-Lewin scored, like, that is the last goal I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Like, the last goal I would imagine him scoring. Like, getting the ball in the box, beating two players, and sitting the keeper down with, like, a calm finish into the corner. Like, that's so...
You put him to sleep.
Yeah.
It was like a killer crossover in basketball or something, and the guy fell down, and then he dunked it on him. It was great.
He's the way he telegraphs that. I mean, you're thinking, go across the keeper. That'd be the natural thing most strikers do. For him to have that presence of mind to do that, it shows what we got from him. Do you know what I mean? Look, we can sit here, like I said, we can wax lyrical about him for hours and hours and hours here, equally be incredibly frustrated why that's not been there for, you said, years. It is, right, it is years where it hasn't been. To have him do that in the performance we've done, there's no coincidence as well what happens in and around and behind him. So if that's what Moyes has got instantly from this, having a few more training sessions with them, then it's much more optimistic to look at what we've got for the rest of the season, isn't it?
Yeah. Just one more thing on him. Like, I don't want to dwell too much on one player, because, like you said, Rob, there were loads of good things today. But, like I think he's probably going to... he's almost certainly going to leave, isn't he, at the end of the season, you would imagine. Like, and I think if he did go, and it all kind of meekly fizzled out, and everyone was kind of thinking about him, as you said, in terms of, like, 85% for his last season, like, that would be a big shame for someone who's, you know, has been at the club for, what, 9 years now, and sort of become a self-made Premier League centre forward, played loads of positions, like, battled to get where he is, had to really fight to become Everton's number nine. And, you know, if you look back over the last few years, it's not been great by any means, but all the best moments we've had really have been through him. Like, that Crystal Palace goal obviously is massive, scoring the second in the derby. Like, if he just left and it was all very, you know, no one was really asked, it'd be quite sad more than anything. Like, I think he's got an opportunity now under a new manager, playing a different way, to kind of just, if he's going to go on good terms, sort of thing. And like, and that hopefully is the start of that today. But I wanted to mention Lindstrom, Matt. Interesting, you all said O'Brien was right back today. I thought it was kind of a back five quite a lot of the time.
Later on, I think you're right, but initially I
thought
we felt
back
for him.
Yeah. But like, I think it was quite fluid, wasn't it? Whereas like, so Brian didn't really get forward much until the second half, really. But
I'm basing it on the crude observation that the throw-in takers were O'Brien, McLeod.
Yeah,
but
that's a back four. But Lynch from today reminded me a bit of, do you remember when Lampard was struggling and he just thought, fuck it, I'm going to play a Wobi at right wing back. Yeah. And he was brilliant.
Yeah.
And like all of a sudden it's like, oh, this lad's actually really good at footy, and can, if you give him space to run into. Like, it felt a bit like that today. Like, and there's so many good moments, and I think the one moment that I wanted to mention that I imagine will get picked up much is the cross he plays into Tarkowski for that third goal is absolutely unbelievable. Like digs it out, Tarkowski gets it in, and their lad kicks in, obviously, but his quality today was excellent. His running ability was excellent, and I suppose he's just one of those players where I imagine when people looked at our squad over the last few weeks in the Dyche and saying, you know, these players that are dreadful, he felt like a bit of a lost cause, and today he showed something.
Yeah, if I can delve into like boring stats, I think it was four key passes, like four chances created, but he also made four tackles.
Yeah.
Like, he was winning the ball back and charging forward, much like Iwobi, like we used to see. Like, he was both, well, not both ends of the pitch, like physically, but in terms of the role, he was playing both magnificently. And I mean, it's kind of a, I don't mean to dump on poor Jack Harrison, but it's like a world away from what we saw from him on Wednesday. He was running up and down the wing trying to play both roles. Like, I mean, it's interesting to see. I mean, obviously he's only on loan and stuff, so you wonder if there is a longer term plan to keep him here in the summer. But I'm just made up to see a player with no real security with regards to his future play like that, and like in such a body on the line way like he did.
Yeah, there is stats there, Matt. So,
there we go.
So we had 50 touches, 90 successful passes, 4 chances created and 2 big chances created as well, and 90% pass accuracy, 6 ground duels, 1. Like, that is like a proper wing-back, winger performance, isn't it?
Yeah, no, the Lindstrom piece today, I mean, it felt kind of like a revelation. It's like, and again, I know that we have to be very conscious about, like, judging too much on one game, but I kind of look at this as the impression, you know, what player made the biggest impression on me in terms of just like either entering my consciousness or changing my mind a little bit about them. And in these two games that I've been able to witness from my view in the main stand, it's got to be Lindstrom, because he definitely changed, you know, a bit of the complexion of the match on Wednesday. He was an incredible contributor today. And so being able to see a player that was, and I think this may be where Moy is, and maybe this is almost like Carlo Light in this way, is there are managers who insist on their system being their religion, and the idea being that we cannot deviate from this, and these players must fulfill these rigid constructs we've created. And of course, we as fans obsess about, well, what is the system, and what is the system, and so on and so forth. I think you can have a system, but you also must be complementing the advantages that you are trying to create with your system by putting your players in the best position with their particular set of skills and talent to succeed. And I think that guys like Lindstrom, even in a substitute appearance today, Nathan Patterson had some incredibly key defensive plays and created an incredible chance there late on with some nice dribbling. And again, I think we talked about the idea of David Moyes coming in. What he had to do was, I think I even said, can David Moyes look at this squad and get 10 to 15, maybe 20% more squeezed out of this squad than what Sean Dyche did? And today feels like that this is an opportunity. And maybe I'm thinking of this because of how the results have gone this weekend, the fact that we're seeing City up, 3-0 on Ipswich right now. But if we stay up today, almost feels like a day where things finally started to turn for us, and this certainly does feel like a performance unlike anything we have seen this season.
Do you know that point you just made there? It just opened my eyes to what you said there about, I think that's generally the change between what you're getting in Moyes over Dyche, and the amount of criticism that came in saying, oh, you're just getting somebody else, this old dinosaur's coming into, and it's just like a lot of nostalgia coming in, that's why he's back. I think what you just said there in the few seconds of a sentence is spot on about just utilising what you've got rather than keeping a system in there that you want to stick with rigidly. Seeing what the players you've got in and around you that you can work with on top of what you want them to, what the structure you want in the side. By no means is David Moyes ever going to be a side that's fluent. I think you said at the start, Matt, you're not going to see Everton play football like that. That today's probably is progressive as we get, and I'm fine with that. Absolutely fine with all of that.
That's like Everton's essence, though, isn't it? We're not like a get it down, play out from the back. You want to be direct and aggressive and on the front foot. Yeah. And try and keep the ball when you can. But if you need to go along, it's fine. But not going along into the channels and trying to play off a centre forward who's so isolated. That should not be ever.
It can't be 100% of your diet.
Well, exactly, and that epitomises what you said. What you both said there. And it's refreshing to hear that, because, you know, it's almost like someone's woke me up there, what you just said then, you guys, about, well, why don't you just do that? It's pretty simple, really. We're not having the sort of, I don't know, one-directional approach to the game itself, you know, which is a reason why we didn't want Sean Dyche in the first place, given that he was a one-trick pony. David Moyes you know, I think you had to dig a little bit deeper to show fans, even Evertonians, what his last couple of seasons were like with us, because it was very much similar to what we saw today. And that was evident the best. And that was with players who he got the best out of. And I think we saw that in 90 minutes today. And, you know, that result, it's absolutely huge, because we're sitting here watching Ipswich, who are just behind us. Could have gone on top of us this weekend if results went the opposite way. They're getting absolutely hammered and we're 4 points clear now. That's a massive season for us. It's a massive performance. And look at us talking about Everton with a win, our fourth of the season inside the last 4 months. And we're looking at the league table now smiling. Didn't expect this, but, you know, Rob came over from the States, so you know this is going to... I know, 4 points behind Spurs, are we now? Game in hand? I mean, you can throw other sides into this now, can't you? And there's that chase for the Europa Conference there, which Moises won before. So.
Just a few more things before we wrap up. How bad did we feel in the last 10 minutes? I felt like I was going to throw up. I can feel the sensation now of when they scored to make it 3-2. I was thinking, oh my God, we're going to mess this up again, because Spurs deserved absolutely nothing from that game. And there's not going to go too hard on Jordan Pickford, because he saved our skin a lot this season, but that lad had a meltdown there in the last 15 minutes. But were we all panicking massively?
Sort of. I didn't get the same sense of overwhelming dread as against Bournemouth.
Okay.
Like, I thought, especially seeing the 4 minutes go up on the board, I thought we would probably see it out, but once the second went in, like,
if that had been six or seven, then
once the second went in, me, my dad and my brother were just like, yeah, let's go, like, whatever happens here, we don't really want to see it. Like, I mean, we can leave happy-ish now, and we will be equally happy if we see it out.
Just be ignorant to yeah, goals.
Basically, yeah. Like, oh yeah, if we score another one, we won't be that arse that we missed it, but I didn't want to be in the ground for 3-3 if it happened, so... Yeah, I didn't get that overwhelming feeling that I do in some games where you just know. Like, I didn't think Spurs particularly had the quality to really stick the knife in at the end there.
I was scared out of my fucking skin. And let me tell you, 3-1, whatever.
Yeah.
3-2, and it was Richarlison. Yeah. And combine that with, I felt like the final girl in a classic slasher movie, and you're home, you think you're home free, and then the killer comes back to life. And in this particular case, the killer coming back to life was Michael Keane coming on the pitch to get his revenge on me for all the terrible things that I've always that I've ever said about him. And I was really, because first thing he did was give the ball away as soon as he got on the pitch. And, you know, Dave mentioned something about maybe Keane might have been slightly culpable for that second goal. I don't know, but I was hanging on for dear life. Knowing this is my final time at Goodison, I just thought, you cannot allow this to become a draw. And obviously, you know, in its own way, I think about how my nerves felt at that moment. It makes me more impressed with the overall response of kind of getting through those oh shit moments and just having the composure you needed at the right time. That overall throughout the squad, that was pretty ever present today. And so from that standpoint, you can be so happy with the results. A little bit shaky at the end, but for Moyes' second game upon his return, I think this was something that felt different than even like Dyche at his high this season was this 4-0 against Wolves, right? Yeah. And that didn't feel like this.
It wasn't 4-0, no.
Yeah.
That game wasn't 4-0, but I was sort of expecting them to like rally, because like as bad as they are, Tottenham, they like every game they played, like they got quality and they never seem to give up. Like even when they got beat 6-3 by Liverpool the other week, they managed to make it 5-3 after being 5-1 down. So I always thought they'd carry on going to the end, but listen, thankfully we got out of the line.
Let's not forget as well, that's a massive hoodoo banished. Like, yeah. We hadn't beat them in the league at Goodison since Moyes.
13 years.
13 years.
Wow. That's the 2-1.
The Jelovic goal, right? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. The Belios overhead kick assist.
And that was it, yeah.
Oh, what a game.
What a player.
What's the wrap up, Rob? Obviously, we're all going to walk out of Goodison Park for the final time in about 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
You've done it today. How'd you feel about that? And what were your emotions? Just so we can all prepare for what you went through today?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure it's not comparable, given how all of you who go to the match every week, you know, every week, and have been doing this for, you know, literally generations, and doing this with your families, it is different. But I will tell you that I said on Wednesday night in the post match that I wasn't really sure how I was going to feel, and you know, on the one hand, there's the game part of things, right? Which is the, you know, in this particular case, it really had everything. It had David Moyes managing Everton, which is, you know, when I started in 2004, 2005, like, that was my manager. But it had everything in terms of that real connection between the crowd today and the players, the, you know, even the way in which the players, after their goals, came over and were trying to drive up and amp up the crowd more. And there was a real connection today, the hard yards, but doing so with grit and with purpose today. Two goals that felt like new relationship sex. Yeah. That is what those two goals felt like. I mean it. They weren't like, they weren't.
We're normally PG. You've come over from the States. You have 21s over there, so don't they?
No, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, they, it'd be one thing. I've been satisfied with, you know, being at Everton matches where we got an ugly win, a scrappy win, you know, seeing Bernard kind of scuff one in, or seeing, you know, Calvert-Lewin against Burnley last season. It was an ugly game and an ugly goal. This felt like I was getting, you know, not only the goals.
Everyone had something else in the mind. Yeah.
I was on edge there.
I felt like I was getting.
Oh, no. I felt like I was getting not only the goals, but the overarching.
I'm going to edit this, you know.
No, I didn't say anything. You guys have implied that I was going to say something that I didn't. Anyway, no, but I think what was great is the game. You got the goals. You got the experience. Hell, even Richarlison scoring felt like kind of a weird little bonus since we won the game.
No, I know.
But no, it was everything that I could have possibly dreamed of. And then there was leaving the park, and I didn't know how I would feel, and I started to well up with tears and get a little choked up on my way out. I think that there are sacred places in our lives that are no longer there anymore, and sometimes we have a chance to say goodbye, and sometimes we don't, you know. I'm planning on writing something about this final experience, but I think about it like my grandparents' home. I loved that place. It was sacred. And then a storm came and it was gone. And then I lost this sacred place from my childhood. Having the opportunity to come over here and really say goodbye properly, and to do so in a way that was this special, and to do so with my friends, this is what life is all about, gentlemen. This was amazing, and I'll never forget today, and I'll never forget my 5-2 record at Goodison. And hopefully, I can't wait to be in the new stadium, but it will never be this. There will never, ever be this again.
It's an amazing way of finishing stuff.
Yeah. Beautifully summed up there. What a day for the Toffees. So pleased for Rob. Thanks to Dave and to Matt. As well, we'll be all over that this week, of course, with our usual podcasts. Blue Monday tomorrow, Byline coming up Tuesday. And yeah, plenty of build up to Brighton. But yeah, we're off to drink the night away, to revel in what was a great day at Goodison Park. Everton 1-3-2, up the Toffees. We'll speak to you again soon.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
If you're a facilities manager at a university, you know students rely on the cafeteria for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and the occasional late-night snack. So when a dishwasher breaks down and dirty plates pile up, the mess hall can turn messy in the blink of an eye. Enter Grainger. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast delivery, the product you need now is never far away. So you can turn that dishwasher back into a lean, clean washing machine. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.